Welcome to another edition of Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Robert Winters.
And I'm Judy Nathans.
And today is, what is today's date? This is
September 21st. Yes.
Someone said
it's the first day of autumn. I know. I think they turned off the AC in my unit already, which is okay, but I just think it's a little early. But they didn't turn it on in time either, because it was supposed to be June 15th and it was really hot.
You know, when I was a kid, people lived in either houses or apartments. Yeah. And then at some point, miraculously, they became units, all right?
Did I say unit? I meant
apartment. Yes, you did. You did. Well, I know, but most people say unit these days.
You know why? Because I live in, it's the biggest building I've ever lived in. So I guess to me, where I used to live was an apartment in a four family. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, but in New
York,
right.
we
always said apartment buildings, you know?
That's true. I guess it's interchangeable, units, apartments.
Yeah,
you're right.
I don't know, just evolving language, right?
Okay. You
know?
But anyway, so it is, fall is here, fall classic. That's the base, whatever.
Right, and the Red Sox have 5-game winning streak, so that's good
news, amazing. Sure. And they're playing New York Mets tonight and Yankees this weekend. That'll be interesting. And I guess the marathon's going to go on in October, and also
I forgot about that.
And the regatta is still planned. The head of the Charles, I'm volunteering for the sustainability committee once again.
Yeah, I suppose we could talk a little bit about it, actually, you know, I'm a little bit of out of sequence here, but you know, we have in the past talked a lot about the COVID updates and things. I don't want to dwell on it much, but I think
it's important because people. Yeah. We're not doing it regularly at the meetings.
Yeah, so I just want to say one quick thing about about COVID. So hopefully that's viewable. Is that?
Yes.
Viewable? Okay.
Yeah, cool. I see it.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you know, at first glance, this is the update as of today.
Yeah, it doesn't look good at first glance.
It doesn't. But on the other hand, remember, I'm also just chunking out a piece and I'm scaling it appropriately. So what I saw was basically what appeared to be kind of an increasing rate of increase, if that's okay.
That's
right. That way.
Where are you starting? August?
So this is just a chunk of like 40 something days from early August until now.
That's
where,
amazing.
It's really kind of where it's been a little dreadful right in here.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been a little faster than linear growth. Lately, it seems to be slowing down a little bit. I actually find the most interesting graphs to be not just this one here of the running 7-day averages, because what you see is the first peak in the initial fearful phase of this.
And then summer was better, and then it went bad.
Yeah, and then surviving the winter was really ultimately the most miserable part of all of this. And then the Delta variant, right? And if you blow up.
But we're going into the fall again, which if you see that's when it gets worse when you go indoors.
Yeah, you know, I think that is definitely a factor, and but I think it was a lot of times it was the get together. So, but here's the way I look at this. So,
and we also didn't have a vaccine back then, did we?
Right. So I'm looking at this here now. This is from June until today, right? And I will just give you my interpretation of this. You know,
all right.
So my first observation would be that if this were following the previous patterns, this would have just skyrocketed a lot more than what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. So I do still, and I've said this before, I feel it's sort of been blunted to some degree because of the vaccines.
Yeah.
Another thing to keep in mind is that people are going to places like Fenway Park and most people aren't wearing masks. So we're doing all the things that would have been viewed as incredibly dangerous and reckless a year ago. Mm. And nonetheless, we're still not flying out of control here. So we seem to be managing things.
Well, I don't know. What's this peak right here? When was that?
But here's the thing is, and I think there was a New York Times article about this. They said for reasons that are unclear, there is a tendency for each of the previous peaks to sort of, you know, they go through these periods where they go for about a couple months and then they just mysteriously start tailing away. I don't think it's actually mysterious. I think what you really saw was that kind of happening, you know, with some, you know, fits and starts. There's really actually been multiple variants that kind of dominated. Now everything's all Delta. But if things go the same way as before, even with the increased rate of, the more infectiousness of it all, there's a pretty good chance that things could actually be past that peak and are now actually, and you can kind of see it a little bit here, but again, it's really impossible to extrapolate here what's really going to happen, you know, in the weeks to come. But it's very, very possible that this could be now on the decline. And apparently some of the news reports around the country are really reporting.
Yeah, well, from what I've read, and these new variants are at least, it's a 2-month kind of thing. And then we're approaching the end of the 2 months, depending on where you are in the world.
I think it'll be more than 2 months. I think the greater infectiousness is really the reason why that period would be stretched out a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, so if it goes 3 months, fine. And then we could very well start seeing a decline. So hopefully no more mysterious variants.
Okay, I'm going to ask I should have paid attention. That chart, though, is covering what? Massachusetts? Cambridge?
This is just Cambridge, okay? And that's an important question.
But if we're so vaccinated here, why are there so many cases then? Or are there not? It just looked like that.
Actually, there are not.
Lower than what it used to be.
Yeah, it's not terrible. We're actually not doing bad.
Okay.
And actually, many of these infections are, in fact, there's a reason why we didn't have a death for months. We had one about 2 weeks ago. But
yes, you're right.
Yeah, so the vaccines have been working. We have just basically, you could still get infected even if you were vaccinated, but you just are not going to be particularly symptomatic.
Okay, and actually, I should correct myself. We don't have the case like we used that we did back before. Okay. I don't read charts very well, and I just see
But what is basically you're seeing, and I think the Cambridge public health officials have said it, is that most of these are not, you know, unvaccinated people in Cambridge. These are people who just are, picked it up, and they may be transmissible to unvaccinated people.
Okay.
But so they're technically infected. You know, they tested positive, but they're not hurting bad from it, and they get over it, you know?
Right.
So it seems like it's actually far more managed right now in every respect.
And you're right, that point about the one death, because it was 123 for months, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
It went
122 days, actually, without a death. And, you know, honestly, that's the ultimate test, really.
Yeah.
So now, the thing is, this is all local phenomena. So this is how we're doing in Cambridge and ICE.
Right.
We're doing pretty well. You know, Massachusetts generally pretty well. There's still some parts of the country. There's still parts of this world where not
Texas,
well.
Texas, Florida, Mississippi has. They said per capita, if Mississippi were a country, they would be the worst in the world.
That's very, very real. Yeah. So you know, to whatever degree people want to travel from place to place, then you run into some potential problems.
I'm not going anywhere. I haven't even been out of state. Out of state.
as long as it's not any kind of moving, too much of moving around, so that we're basically, you know, sharing the misery a little bit here. Then, you know, these things tend to go in clusters regionally or in countries or whatever.
Yeah.
So if you see national statistics that say we've got a real serious problem in Florida or Texas or elsewhere, that, you know, as long as, you know, we don't have too many people running up here and infecting other people, you know, we may very well be containing our own problem, and we just sort of make sure we don't do too much.
Hopefully, you know, with the marathon
communication
and, the head of the Charles, although those are all, you know, basically outdoor events, I'd be more concerned for the participants themselves, who have to obviously stay somewhere at night, and usually they stay
over. So,
but that's their issues. They're going to be.
So if they're coming from elsewhere, then we run into some.
I have to check that. I think they have to be vaccinated, but I'm not sure about that.
I'm all for that. I carry my card.
I know you do. I photographed it because I don't want to carry mine around.
Yeah. It turns out a badge holder card is exactly the right size.
I know. I saw yours, Robert.
Yeah.
I know you don't have a phone.
So meanwhile, let's talk a little bit here about, I mean, this is a fall of an odd numbered year. And in Cambridge, that also means municipal elections. I'm not particularly thrilled. I'm going to be a little more outspoken this year than in previous years, and I'm not thrilled with the candidate selection by and large. Mm-hmm. We may have 19 city council candidates for 9 seats.
There's about 4 other than the incumbents, which some of those, you know, you might not white. You, some, other than the incumbents, I'd say maybe four are to me worthy to be there, four or five.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's a remark. Maybe it's because of the people I hang with. I'm not sure, but yeah, it is true. Incredible to me how many people, including myself, honestly say how very few people they intend to rank on their ballot this year.
I'm there too.
Yeah, right. No, a I mean, lot
I
of people
I could see maybe that. About six, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, and you know, and maybe people, maybe including me, maybe we're being a little unfair to some of the incumbents. I can't say for sure, but I got to say, I've been pretty unhappy.
Hey, with, either with like them. People or you like what they're doing, you want to see them continue to do it, yeah. Or you just feel like, you know, hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of times you may just vote because even if you disagree with them, you at least feel they have some level of integrity and you figure, okay, they deserve to be an elected official.
That's, you know? And like I was thinking that before, like even a clock is right twice a day, is that the old expression? Exactly. And it's true, like some of these candidates that I'm, or incumbents that I'm not crazy about, sometimes they say something I do agree with, you know, so.
Well, I like it when they say something I agree with, which is sincere, as opposed to the usual, there's right. A lot of political theater, especially in
right
the lead
now,
up to municipal elections.
Oh my God, it's like, you know, put out these orders and do this.
Right, like last night there was a debate all having to do with unionization of a Darwin's or something. And it was quickly turning into kind of a political competition for who loves unions the most. And I thought, well, okay, great. But
yeah,
you know,
I had to look up a lot of that because I didn't understand what card check is. And I did look at it briefly and it isn't necessary. It is good for the worker, but I guess there's some issues. At least the thing I read, and maybe it was written by a you know whatever, but that the owner or the business owner could be in jeopardy because there's a certain time limit when everything has to be done, and it could go again. So I don't know. I just it's
well, there
unfortunate
was also,
that you have to unionize that you can't.
Yeah,
have
well,
it,
but, in yeah. That particular matter,
yeah,
there's also the notion about well if. Are if by supporting unionization of workers in cafes,
right.
Are you fundamentally making life difficult for one of our local businesses, right?
Exactly.
And yeah, I don't know that we are. But,
well,
but,
I read the link about the pavement owner, the pavement coffee house, because he's a local owner, and it was a good or it was an BUR had it. Because he pointed out some of his issues and he wasn't supportive of it, but pointed out from an owner perspective.
Well, you know what I you know, maybe because I'm somewhat jaded because of all the politics, mm-hmm. I'm also looking at from the point of view of like, well, who's trying to appeal along the, right. You know, support your local economy political issue, you know, are there-
Yeah, but
there
it sounds to me more like our revolution. I mean, nothing against that, but it's more like Worker United and now we're using, it's going to people because let's face it, a lot of the people in these coffee shops and are very educated. They haven't been able to get work maybe elsewhere, and they're gonna advocate more for themselves. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Could be wrong about that. But
now another thing that's happening right around now is you know there the candidate forums.
Yes.
Either, albeit virtually for the most part. I think there are a few ones that are exceptional where you can actually meet somebody in person. But
really.
You know, Delta variant is basically changed a lot of plans. And
Robert, I noticed one of them got changed because there was supposed to be one tomorrow, Thursday, but my brother's keeper, and I saw that it is now on October.
Yeah, I mean, they were in touch with me asking me, okay, we've decided we have to change it this way here. There were some conflicts.
There's a lot of stuff going on that night. Yeah.
I mean, the whole purpose of my putting together the calendar was to help to avoid the conflicts.
Sure.
And
well, it's nice
for the most part,
reached out. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's happening for the most part, mm-hmm. you know, and there are some organizations who try and get the information very quick to make sure they're essentially claiming a space you know, in the calendar so they can say, well, we were there first. And that's good. That's great. You know, it's, you know, rush ahead, get online, you know, don't, mm-hmm. You know, just avoid the conflict. And if that means being aggressive and claiming a date, do it. Definitely do it. But most of them, you know, Porter Square has got some dates worked out. Mid Cambridge gave me a couple dates today. I put those ones out. They're round robin type of around the table format. I don't know how they're going to do that.
Is that going to be in person?
No.
Okay.
They're gonna again, Delta variant, right? But
well,
they,
I understand. Yeah.
So they are going to spread it out over 2 days.
I see.
And I know I actually made a suggestion to them, and I don't know whether they're going to do it or not, which is that if they're going to do it using Zoom, there's these breakout room capabilities.
Oh, yes, which I never like to participate in, but yeah.
Well, there's also a problem where are they going to get recorded automatically or not, because they want them to have the recordings available. So
that's right. Usually they're not, yeah.
Right. So what you can do is you can put in links and things so that people can...
Someone's got to know what they're doing with that. Yeah. Right.
To me, it's like seven ball juggling. I just wouldn't want to be involved in it because it's hard. It's just hard, you know?
And now, I have to say, in deference to, the Jewish holidays were last week, and the congregation I sometimes attend did two services in Zoom, but they integrated video. They had they really had some good people in charge, and that's what it takes. You have to have some people with technical know-how.
You basically need a producer. Yeah.
You need a producer, right?
You really do.
Speaking of forums, right? So ABC had theirs the other day.
All right. And I haven't watched any of it.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. I recorded it. It was on, CCTV actually tonight is having it. If you want it, 7 to 9, right after, our show normally airs, but they are airing that again. So I did actually rewatch it. It was strange. It was a little strange at the end. You had to do yes or no, and Paul Toner objected, and Patty Nolan wanted more nuance, and they said, sorry. It's like you have to take a pledge.
All right, let's sort of like the bike safety people, in other words.
Oh, really?
The bike safety people, again, I'm not doing this as a dig on them, but the thing is that notion is to make candidates sign a pledge saying you will not listen to any other opinions other than ours.
You have to agree that you want buildings here and there.
That's it.
Nicola.
No room for nuance.
Patty, Paul, Toner. Joe McQuirk kind of went along with it, which I was surprised in a way, because he had said some other things that I thought, makes sense. But he is really for the whole AHL stuff. But it was interesting because you could see the politics
But I think you got to make a distinction between candidate forums that are hosted by organizations who are endorsing candidates and whether they admit it or not, have already pretty much made up their minds in advance of the forums.
You couldn't even go to the forum if you didn't fill out the questionnaire.
Exactly.
And then they had the person you pointed out. He's not even running, but he turned in a questionnaire and they let him speak, which is what's that about?
That's ridiculous.
That was the Robert Exta.
No. He's a candidate.
I'm sorry. Roy Verbitsky.
Right. Yeah. Right.
How did that happen?
So I think voters, should make a distinction between.
Yeah.
If they're going to learn about candidates from candidate forums, they need to make a distinction between forums that are organized by organizations who either
have an agenda or
already have endorsed slates of candidates.
Right.
So that if you're a candidate who is not part of their blessed slate, then you're already in a kind of a hostile environment. Right?
But they have not endorsed yet ABC.
They may not have endorsed, but we already know at least the majority of who they're endorsing.
But the other one, which is going to have a forum, the Cambridge, they have endorsed.
That's right. So here's a situation, and actually this relates to the candidates. And flash over here. Got to do a little quick scroll up here to some of the candidates, right? So, as I say, there are 19 candidates for city council and 9 for school committee.
Right.
It's unfortunate that the school committee often takes a back seat to all of this, but I guess it's always been that way, so we can't really complain.
Because half the population doesn't even know that there's schools.
Right. So there's a full expectation that I think the ABC people will endorse 9 people, probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it largely be the at least 5 of the incumbents who are already part of their slate. Tim Toomey is off because he's not seeking re-election.
Right.
And then the question is as well, do they pad that out with people like either Joe McGurk or Paul Toner or somebody else? I really don't know. I haven't been following them.
Oh, I don't think, ABC?
Yeah, I just haven't been paying attention to them.
They're not going to put Paul Toner on there.
Right. So I don't really know what they're planning to do, because the truth is that in the past, they will never admit this in a million years. But the thing is the first function of candidate slates is often incumbency protection. So if you've got incumbents, and if endorsing a challenger might actually lead to the possibility that they would end up doing better than one of their incumbents, and therefore turning their incumbent into the feeder rather than the other way around, they might strategically choose to exclude candidates. Right. So how they, you know, it's like, you know, a witch's brew of how these decisions get made internally by people. And it's not all based on merit. You know, I just,
well, I can say clear. Right now, there's definitely two incumbents. They would, or three, I think, Sumbel, Mark, and June.
Yeah, but you know, basically,
it's questionable whether Alana or this whole thing about the 2072.
No, there's no question in my mind that she'll be the endorsed.
She didn't come. She came out. Wasn't the whole thing about 2072 Mass Ave? Wasn't she?
Right now, she's sort of stuck in betwixt and between based on her voter base.
So you're right. That's true.
If she wants to go full ABC of pro density, she might actually jeopardize some of the people like neighborhood voters in mid-Cambridge, for example. So, you know.
She didn't get it last time, did she? She didn't get their endorsement last time.
Sure, she did. Absolutely.
Alana? Really? On she ABC. Wasn't in that group.
We're talking at ABC now.
I know we are. And I don't remember seeing her face. Yes. I saw Dennis.
Of course,
I saw...
No. She was. There's no question. She was absolutely part of that. Right? So are they going to go for nine? I don't know. The interesting thing to me is actually what's happened. Like, there's the CCC group, Cambridge Citizens Coalition.
Right.
So they've endorsed four people.
I know.
They announced that, you know, so there are two incumbents. It's Dennis Carlone and Patty Nolan.
Right.
And then
Burhan Azeem.
No. CCC. Listen.
Oh, wait a minute. Dana
Cambridge
Bolister.
Citizens Coalition.
Right.
Dana Bolister and Nicola Williams. Okay. So they just endorsed four.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
It kind of leads me to sort of wonder a little bit. You know, my understanding is Quentin Zondervan, who was endorsed by them 2 years ago, I don't believe actually even sought their endorsement this time. Not so sure he would have gotten it anyway.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that he and Jeevan Sabrina Wheeler have basically been running almost like as a tag team. They're doing dual fundraising, dual events. They're identifying.
Which is interesting, though, because they don't agree on the whole build at any cost, anywhere density.
Right. But they do. They are both
on central safety endorsed, and all that.
But they are central endorsed figures with the Democratic Socialists of America.
Oh, right. That just DSA. Came out. I saw that whole lawsuit.
There's even literature saying vote for these two. They are our DSA endorsed candidates.
Our revolution. Yeah.
Right. So now, you know, again, I don't want to just sound like the, you know, the Monday morning quarterback and all of this stuff, but but you know, so how is this really going to play out? I heard some people from both the Our Revolution group and the Cambridge Residents Alliance announced that they were part of some new coalition.
Oh, I heard that yesterday. Well, that was in public comment, right?
Right. Yeah. So are they going to
announce this?
So is the other member of the coalition, like the Sunrise Boston group?
Sunrise, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, so so is this really the strategy here to simply target a lot of Gen Z people and bring out that vote and have Jeevan and Quentin be sort of like the centerpieces of that. Now, of course, they'll have to put more people on that slate then.
Yeah, I do appreciate, I did appreciate Patty Nolan from the ABC Forum more than I have other times that she's been talking, because she was the one that said, you know, it's not just housing. There's this, and this. And, you know, even though this is obviously ABC's thing, but and I think that's really important. Not everybody. And also, was it Paul Toner? Someone else said, have you really talked to other people in the neighborhood? Or no, it was Joe McQuirk, I think. Joe McQuirk, I think, said, you know, where basically, I'm paraphrasing, you know, where are the people that you're not hearing from? All right, where's their voice? You know, and it's true. I mean,
what you have is a situation where a relatively small number of people have decided that the issues of importance to people, this is a very elitist thing to be doing, I have to say.
Well, isn't it basing on that questionnaire they did about the number one issue in Cambridge? I mean, I don't know how many people responded there, 400, 500, whatever.
But honestly, you know, being the number one issue doesn't really say a lot to me.
I know.
You know, I mean, and also, whenever it comes to the question of housing and housing affordability, the wording of the question is much more important than the phrase.
You're
because the way I look at it is that unless you are extraordinarily wealthy, the affordability of your housing is a matter that is something that matters to you, even if you're not seeking, quote, affordable housing, right?
So yeah, the whole word affordable is like, it's affordable where, to who,
yeah.
You know? And it is true. You need to make a lot of money here to, although somebody touted some figure that's totally off the mark, but anyway, it was just—
Right. Well, I mean, the biggest problem actually at Cambridge in terms of the housing issue is that, you know, I always say it's sort of income inequality by design. So in other words, when they made decisions about drawing people from certain industries to Cambridge, and with the growth of Kendall Square, and a lot of people came here competing. They're competing for housing stock, and housing stock has actually grown much faster than most places, but still, you know, there's a lot of people, the big influx of people coming in here.
But what we'll kind see of how housing much of it, people would say,
We'll see how it shakes out, as we weather the COVID storms, right?
Yeah, but, and you know what, Nicola Williams mentioned something which I thought was not, because she kind of criticized MIT that all they're doing is building labs, and I don't know, I walk all the time along Albany, and the dorms are going up there constantly.
MIT is not building labs so much, but they do own land that was being
set aside for the pharmaceutical
industry.
They have built a lot of housing for students and graduates.
They have done that very much. Yeah, should they be doing more? You could certainly make that case. But,
they are going to be doing the other end.
Yeah, it is a bit sort of simplistic to just say university built housing. Because first off, not everybody who's a student at Harvard or MIT necessarily wants
to live in MIT and Harvard housing. It's expensive. It's not
that cheap.
It's not that cheap. Yeah, anyway, we've got to, I think we should go now and we'll come back in a half hour. No?
Or maybe, actually, we can go a little bit longer.
Right, because we started late. Okay.
Yeah. But I just want to say something because I don't want to dwell too much on the candidates forevermore.
But this
endorsement process, we'll see how it shakes out. We'll start to hear words about endorsements very soon. We only have the one officially announced so far. There was one particular candidate named Robert Eckstut, who I have never met personally, who apparently was seeking out endorsements, didn't get endorsements, certainly didn't get it from the CCC group, and then decided to go ballistic on his Facebook page, basically trying to rip anyone and everyone in his path to shreds.
What a nice white guy.
What a nice fellow, I mean, honestly, I think Greg Morey may not win the Greg Morey Award this year. honestly.
And that's a really low bar.
I mean, there is a bit of a tradition about candidates at least being reasonably cordial, and it is sort of a de facto truth about PR elections too, if you're interested in transfers or even if you want your votes, if you defeat it, to transfer to people you like.
I don't think he's in it to be liked or to be whatever. He's in it to just have his.
Because
it's easy to run for. Let's face it, it's easy to run. You don't have to do anything. Just put your name out there.
Exactly. Anyway, we'll have a lot more to say about this in the coming weeks. So, perhaps we should just we'll
close off this segment, and we'll come back with our second half.
Yeah, we'll come back in a few minutes on Cambridge Inside Out.